connected like 10 minutes ago. He's an awesome guy because they actually punched him up live on air for a second. So I'm glad he's here early. But I don't want some people not to hear him. We have over 400 radio stations, a bunch of cable and TV stations that carry the show. We love you. So I want to come to him at 6 after. He's a great guy. You know, friends with Trump since military academy. Great lawyer, advisor. He's been telling Trump to declare an emergency on the election fraud. I totally agree. But you've got all this hysteria that Trump is planning martial law and all this stuff. And let's just be clear. When I'm critical of Trump because he was lied to on intelligence that Iran's not going to fall as fast as they said and the rest of it, let's be a trillion percent clear. I'm not for the Democrats, and I want to get Trump back on track. And I'm not a cult leader either. We have to totally agree with me or I don't like you. Peter Tichtin loves Trump, thinks he's doing a great job across the board. I want to hear that perspective. And I was thinking that last night today where I saw this talking point that Trump's getting ready for all this martial law, what's the Democrats that want to push him into that, that I want to get ahead of this and talk to somebody that actually advises him on this to get the facts here. Okay? But we do have the midterms in 6 months. It's a big deal. He's doing a great thing with redistricting. I don't think they've been hardcore enough, but big victories everywhere. Congratulations to the president on the Supreme Court ruling in his favor and all the rest of it. That might mitigate the unpopular war and get us to keep the House and Senate. But if we don't, he'll be a lame duck, and we are going to have hell to deal with the Democrats. So my bitching at Trump, which is my opinion to get him back on track in areas, is not for the Democrats. I'm not getting paychecks in the mail from them. They're like sharpening their knives for me. We need Trump to start pushing who comes next, because we need to save this country. So I'm going to go to this quick report on what I was talking about with the new Odyssey Politically Correct coming out, and we'll go back to Peter Tichtin. Stay with us.
Famous Hollywood director Christopher Nolan, this guy right here, is making a movie based on the book, the poem, The Odyssey, and I'm not kidding when I say any of this, but the role of Achilles will reportedly be played by Elliot Page. Looks like a guy, formerly Ellen Page, meaning the most famous warrior in history, not just Greek history, all of history, Achilles, is about to be played by a transgender woman in a brand new movie. You might remember Ellen Page from the hit movie Juno 20 years ago, where she was definitely a woman.
Are you honestly and truly going to prom with Katrina DeVore?
Hi.
Leah just said that you were going to go with her.
Yeah, I did ask her if she wanted to go. A bunch of us from the team are going to go to Benihana and then go to the prom and then go to VJ's parents' cabin. So we're getting a stretch limo.
Your mom must be pretty stoked that you're not taking me.
Yeah, so that is Ellen before she became Elliot. And Elliot will now be playing the role of Achilles in this new movie. Achilles, who is described throughout history as being a superhuman warrior, deadly on the battlefield, he even defeated Hector of Troy. You might even remember Brad Pitt played Achilles in a movie 20 years ago, meaning we've gone from Brad Pitt to a girl who dresses as a guy who's 5'1", 118 pounds. That's the person that's going to be playing the greatest warrior in history, because to the left, that is normal. That's okay. And to top it all off, playing Helen of Troy, the woman who started the Trojan War, the likeness on the right, probably not great. She was beautiful. The woman whose face launched 1,000 ships, whose beauty was unparalleled, a woman who was definitely white, is going to be played by Lupita Nyong'o. You might be looking at this photograph saying, I think Lupita Nyong'o is black, and you're correct. We haven't adjusted anything. And I've got nothing against Lupita, but I do have a problem with the complete rewriting of history. Helen of Troy was not black. That's not me being mean, that's me telling the truth, the real, actual truth, which we tend to do a lot of here. And Achilles was not a 5'1" woman. But to the left, this is all normal. But don't you dare cast Brad Pitt as Martin Luther King Jr. in a movie. That would never happen, because Martin Luther King Jr. was definitely black, and Brad Pitt, I think, is white. And I don't think Christopher Nolan is going to cast Big Elliot Page, the transgender man, to play the role of George Floyd when they come out with that movie, and they will.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. We'll be right back.
Fortune tango, vulnera, si, latibus ocellis, fortune amici, vulnera, sutra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we've got long-time Trump confidant, hell, he bunked with him in military academy. Peter Tichtin, he's also a top lawyer and a big advisor to President Trump, and he's on record been advising him about different emergencies he could declare dealing with all the election fraud, the mail-in ballots, and what we know is going on. And I looked at that and talked to other constitutional lawyers. They thought what Peter and others were saying was totally constitutional. So Trump's looking at that right now, and they're trying to call it martial law and all the rest of it. Now we're also hearing out of the White House, though, they're looking at a financial emergency of some type using previous executive orders to be reissued that the Supreme Court has upheld. And you've got the Young Turks and others saying, you know, basically Trump is trying to set up martial law. I wouldn't give that any credibility, except that you get his new terrorism czar saying Tucker Carlson and, you know, people, you know, just you might be basically domestic terrorists. We're going to watch what you say. Come on. So I wanted to get Peter Tichtin on instead of just going with rumors and talk to see what he's hearing, what he's advising, what he believes coming, and what we're facing in 6 months with the midterms with the Democrats continually being caught in fraud every time there's a special election. Trump's been totally vindicated on all that. And what happened in 2020 definitely was stolen. So, Peter Tichtin, thank you so much for joining us. You founded the Peter Tichtin Law Group. I'm not going to go over it all. LegalBrains.com. And people can find you just by searching Peter Tichtin. You're all over the place. So thank you for coming on short notice, because I was trying to study this last few days. I said, why don't I get Peter Tichtin on instead of just speculating? Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always a pleasure. I'm glad of some of the things you've been saying lately, because you belong together with Donald Trump. You don't belong at odds with the man at all. I mean, your way of looking at the world is just so realistic. You know, we are in a war. And I know there's so many people that don't look at it that way. They see us as they look at the individual issues and they don't realize that everything is connected. You know, so I just really.
Well, let's be clear. Well, thank you. My criticism of Trump has been that he's been given. Look, I would love it if the mullahs fell. I get your point. A few months ago. My point is that here we are with the straight. Here we are with the neocons throwing him overboard. Here they are with the setup. And that was my concern, is that the outcome he wanted wasn't achievable. I get it's a roll of the dice. And then, yeah, his surrogates and some people tell him I'm attacking him to where then he actually believes that when it was done from a different perspective.
Right, right. And I get it. Okay. And I get you. I really do. I do appreciate you a lot. And I know the way you're looking at it. It's like, for instance, I look at myself, let's just say, and I'm not displeased with the fact that he went into Iran. I happen to be one of these people that believe that, you know, if you're a state trooper and you've got your gun drawn and you've got a bead on somebody that's a perpetrator and that guy has a gun on his hip, you know, when do you shoot him dead? You know, when he's standing there.
And I respect people that are honest about their position. And I actually respect that and wish the Mullahs were gone. Exactly. What I don't like is being called an Iranian or Qatarian agent, you know, by people like Sebastian Gorka with no evidence, because that's not true.
No, of course it's not true. You know, that's ridiculous. So you know, the thing is, what I really appreciate about what you said is that you're not on the side of China or whatever you want to call it, the cabal. I mean, you're right.
When you talk about Iran, we're talking about China. And I get the larger 30,000 foot view of take out Venezuela, take out Cuba, you take out China, you take out Iran. And it's working on in Venezuela and Cuba. Cuba's about to fall. In fact, I had the crew getting that ready when you came on with Cuba's on the verge of collapse. Trump's plan is great there. I backed all that. I was just saying Iran, because the Pentagon told him, was not going to be successful probably. But anyways, I'm ranting, sir. You've got the floor.
Okay. I will say that those are almost the easy ones to follow. You know, hit Venezuela, hit Iran, and then you've basically got China in control because they need the energy, and at the same time, you've got Cuba. But we still don't have Brazil. There's still other things that there are other major emergencies in our own hemisphere. You know, when you look at Donald Trump, I mean, when I was saying everything is connected, you have to look at the weaponization that's been occurring in the United States, coupled with the election fraud, which is everything. You know, I don't know whether I reviewed with you. I think I may have. But, you know, the nightmare scenario that I've been projecting.
You have. But why don't you recap it or it kind of bleeds together? Actually, you have it on my show. I've seen you say it because I follow your work. Because, again, we all agree who care about the country in the future. China's the enemy and the puppet master of the election fraud, all of it, with leftists they work with here like John Brennan. So I get that Trump's overall mission of what he's doing. I was just concerned about the Iran thing being more than he could chew, and I've already said that. So, yeah, walk through, because I forgot, Trump has dispatched you. You're in the middle of it all. You got the best track record, literally, of predicting and exposing and what's happening. So what we know about election fraud, 2020, the midterms since then, 2024, and then the nightmare scenario where we are right now, because we're so focused on side issues or people telling Trump these people are against him, so he attacks them. And then the Democrats sit back and laugh. We need to pull back and remember what we're dealing with here.
Okay. Well, he didn't exactly dispatch me. He did have me for 9 months. I was marshaling the evidence regarding January 6th. So I believe me, that's an area that I know.
I saw it in the news that Trump enlisted you to help quarterback the stuff since 2020.
Well, I'm definitely involved in it because I'm involved in all the election cases. You know, I represent Tina Peters. I represent Stephanie Lambert. You know, she's also been charged the way Tina Peters was. There's Joseph Altman, who the judges there, you know, the way they do things, they try to get us disbarred if they can, or they try to keep us off the cases if they can. I only have these problems in the political cases. I don't have them in any of the other cases in my office. And so it's really...
I'm just kissing your ass. You've been a hero to be at the tip of the spear of this, because most lawyers I know are great people. You get involved in this election fraud for even a year, they get attacked so much, they punch out.
Well, that's what's going on. I mean, you know, so it's part of the battle. You know, I don't have to fight for your client. You got to fight for yourself. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because I know what I'm fighting, and what I'm fighting is humongous. You know, these people, you know... I mean, really, if you were to think, okay, what do we do? We're China, or we're the World Economic Forum, or we're a combination of both. And what we want to do is we want to be able to have one world order. And the only way we're going to do that is take this 4% of the population of the earth, the United States, and we got to break them. We got to take them over. Well, let's attack them. Well, we can't attack them. They've got a military that will beat our military. So how do we beat these people? What do we do? And so somebody came along with the idea of election fraud. And you know, that actually started with Hugo Chavez. The first election that was actually stolen was where he was recalled in, or they had an election for recall, rather, in 2004 in Venezuela. And that's where the machines were first used. And they had the Sequoia machines, followed by the Smartmatic machines, ultimately followed by the Dominion machines, and now the Liberty machines. They're all the same. They have the same kind of code, maybe in a different language, but it's the same stuff. All programmed by the Serbians, and Serbia being a satellite of China, we know exactly where this is all coming from and what it's all about. But Venezuela was the first model of it. And then 2006, it was Obama using it in the primaries. That's how he beat Clinton. But that's a whole other story. The point is, where are we now? The machines are so, you know, for a while, they were dependent on, for a long while, they were dependent on what they put into the voter rolls. The voter rolls had all these fake names, these what we call modified duplicates, because it would be the same name. Like in your area where you vote, there could be five, there could be two, there could be three. Alex Jones's, and with your same driver's license number, your same social security number.
Well, I saw some reports out of Michigan where you'd have one name used thousands of times, or voter ID.
It could be, but now they're more sophisticated. They don't even need that. And now they got the machines are to such a level where they have them, they can have them, and they do have them, I understand from my experts, they have them automatically programmed. So after they do the dirty deeds, they get rid of all the programming that had them do the dirty deeds. So you don't even know that the dirty deeds were done. They've gone to a whole new generation. And we've got the machines that are able to determine the results of the election. So you don't need to take over a country militarily if you can just get into its election system and take over the country through its elections. And my understanding is Venezuela has 72 countries to whom they were exporting election results, basically.
So this is the ultimate stealth tool. The ultimate stealth tool. So that's pretty well known. You've been the tip of the spear exposing that. Now, what's the nightmare scenario? What do we expect in the midterms? Trump's okay, so far successful in Venezuela. Cuba looks like it's about to fall. China's in crisis.
Okay, so where are we in terms of the midterm? Believe me, they want their people back. They want the Biden kind of people back. They want to have people in there that will do what's in their best interest against the interests of the United States. And so how do they do that? Well, in the coming election, we've got 22 Republican senators that are up for re-election, which is that's a much higher amount than normal. You know, you got to figure we've got, 52 senators, 53. So, you know, divide that by three, and that's what you would ordinarily have. But now we've got 22 of them in one shot. If they flip the election on 18 of them and don't lose any Democrat seats, they'll have 67. And they don't even need that number because there are enough rhinos in there that would also do the dirty deed. So most people are thinking, oh, they'll impeach and they'll impeach and they'll impeach in the House. But it's not the impeachment. It's the removal that counts. So, you know, when they impeach in the House, they're not going to just impeach Donald Trump, but they're going to impeach with him, J.D. Vance, accusing them both of war crimes or accusing them both of murdering Renee Good up in Minnesota. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if there's any truth to it. Doesn't mean nothing matters. It just matters whether they have the number of votes.
And that's so key. They've said they're going to have a whole bunch of impeachments to try to knock out his cabinet.
Yeah, but they've also said, and they've said it with a kind of confidence that could make you a little bit nervous, wondering where they're getting their confidence. But they've also indicated that we don't have to worry about Trump because he's not going to be around after the midterms. I mean, we've been hearing that for over a year now. And this is coming from the left. So where are they getting this? So where they're getting it is basically that they're going to manipulate the election. Look, we all knew that they cheated in the election of 2020. Anybody with enough brain cells to form a synapse, you know, which is two, okay, knew that they cheated in 2020. You could see it. I mean, you know, we never had a state before that ever stopped the count. And then all of a sudden, four states at the same time stopped the count.
At the same time?
And we're supposed to believe, oh, well, this is just this is normal. And then it all went from Donald Trump the night before, all with a straight up graph for Biden. And we are supposed to say, oh, golly gee, that's normal. We can accept that. No, we're not that stupid.
And Peter, tip of that. Everybody I talked to, the other lawyers say you've been the tip of the spear. We know that. So we know that now. I'm asking now, what do we do 6 months out? And then I'm sure you're aware of this, but they are, the Democrats are, go ahead.
Let's look at the real problem. On January 5th, 62 days after the election, on January 5th, I mean, that's a very short window to be able to do anything. So if they rip us off and they fix the election so that they've got the senators, on January 5th in the House and both parts of the Congress. They basically will elect their new speaker. On the House side, we know it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries. And Hakeem Jeffries, what's the first thing he's going to do? The impeachment. So they could do it in a day. They don't need a trial because they've got the number of votes that they need. They will impeach not just Donald Trump, but Donald Trump together with J.D. Vance. If they do that, and then they're both referred to the Senate, and the Senate removes both of them, then Hakeem Jeffries becomes the president of the United States, and we will have lost not just the presidency, not just the House, but the Senate, the trifecta, and we will never again see freedom in the United States again. If you want to know what the United States is going to look like a year from now, if that happens, look at what's going on in the United Kingdom where there's no freedom anymore. There's no freedom of speech anyway. And people aren't even allowed into the UK anymore if they're on the right and they're going to in any way be doing any public speaking or whatever.
If you mildly criticize Islam, you're banned. So and they've said they want this, and not just impeach Trump and you put their people in. They also immediately are going to stack the Supreme Court. They're going to pack that. I mean,
They don't have to. Jeffries has already made it clear. They're an illegitimate institution. He doesn't have to listen to them. He'll say, look, they should stay in place and be able to settle disputes between the states. We don't care. They can settle all kinds of civil matters. But for now on, they're not going to tell the president of the United States what to do. There's a separation of powers, and we're not going to listen and be dictated to.
Which, by the way, Trump could have always done constitutionally like Thomas Jefferson, but he hasn't. Why doesn't Trump know his powers?
Because right now, the things where he's given in, he could afford to give in. It's not as though we lost the country because of these decisions. But let me tell you, either we're going to have hand counting, or, you know, he mentioned the other day, you know, he was asked if the National Guard was going to go, was going to be assisting in the election. And he didn't rule it out because, you know, they're going to need a lot of help if they're going to do hand counting. They don't even need to do hand counting. All you need to do is get two cameras, one from the top and one from the bottom of each ballot that goes into the tabulators. Let the public then have the streaming where they can turn it on and off and do their own counting. And we'll be able to count the votes. They're not going to be able to get away with cheating. So it either has to be hand counting or it has to be camera observation, camera and recording observation of the actual ballots. And that way they're not going to be able to cheat and then let the results be
sure,
where
Peter,
they
but
may.
You're like, I want to give you time on this, and I appreciate coming on graciously, but you're like a bird dog. We're going to break here in a few minutes, 7 minutes. But the reason I want to get you on, great with an update, the history, my listeners get it. They know it. I think you've won the battle of vindication that they stole 2020 and mitigated our victories and the other things. The big issue is, I'm sure you know, it's all over the news, but they don't give specifics that Trump's planning a national emergency for elections, which you've talked about, which is constitutional.
He needs to. That's the only way he can fix this. They're taking over our country. This is an invasion. If they were coming here with guns and rifles and bullets, then, of course, nobody would question whether or not we're fighting back. But they're coming in surreptitiously. They're sneaking in, and they're taking over our election to be able to take over our country. We've got to be able to do what we need.
But start over and give your pitch. I totally agree with you. You're going to have the floor. I'm going to shut up, but that's what I want to get you to. They're acting like it's some secret, and Trump's creeping around with this election emergency when you've been advising him and others. So they act like we're doing something surreptitious. Explain what this emergency would be, what you've been advising, and what he needs to do with open foreign Chinese control. The machines are still there. The mail-in ballots, the dead people voting. Obviously, thank God they've done some of the redistricting. So start over, because they're acting like this is some secret thing. We need to get it out front and say, no, this isn't hidden. What is the emergency Trump needs to declare?
I've been saying it all along, just like you said. There is an emergency. Okay, he's not going to make up an emergency. There really is an emergency. I know I'm working the cases that have these machines in them, and I know the capability of these machines. They're able to surreptitiously change the results of the election however the operators of these machines want them to be changed. So how do you deal with it? What can you do? The president of the United States can't do anything just in his ordinary powers, Okay, the Constitution provides that the legislatures of each state are the ones that decide how the states will conduct the elections. And yes, Congress can do something, but that's never going to happen, and there's no time to have it happen. We have an election emergency in the United States. I'm not asking the president to make up an emergency. I'm only asking the president to declare the emergency that we have. And it's important for us to let people see and know what that is in terms of the machines and how they can do this. They shouldn't be taking my word for it any more than they should take the word of somebody at CNN that's going to say, oh, no, he's full of it. You know, let's show the evidence. We have it. Let's show them how they stole the election in 2020. Let's show them that the equipment is much more sophisticated now, and they're going to put it in play, or there's a way they can, or even if we don't even show that, we know half the American public believes itself is an emergency.
So to demystify it, it's openly being talked about. You've been advising. What are you recommending the emergency be so we demystify it and get it out there as a solution to the ongoing existential crisis?
It's the only solution. Otherwise, we could be taken over by foreign powers. And you know what? I got to tell you, people think, oh, well, be taken over by foreign powers. What is that? You know, they think they're still going to be able to go to work the next day. They think they're still going to have their lives. If we turn communist or we come under their control, where they undermine this small 4% of the population of the earth. That's all we are. If they do that
to let's talk about it. They're going to do a new virus. They're already trying that. Trump blocked it with Hunter. They're going to create race riots. They're going to do cyber attacks and claim somebody else did it. Communists will destroy infrastructure to get control. It is their first move to bring the public to their knees. We are 2 minutes from midnight.
You're right. And the point is, people don't get it. They don't understand. You know, when you're a child and you think about death and you realize my parents are going to die someday and you start realizing that, you know, you might have a moment or two of a little bit of bad feeling. But when they really die or somebody close to you dies, that's when you learn what misery is. And we can talk about it all day and imagine we could become communists. But when it really happens, we're going to be in a state of misery. People don't have any clue of what the heck they're talking about and how this is.
You're talking about when the bullet hits the bone.
Yeah, I'm talking about reality. You can't get rid of freedom. You can't get rid of our system and think that you still have freedom and we still have our system. It's a craziness that people accept in order to embrace this great idea of everybody being so equal that nobody owns anything and everybody will be happy, but nobody will be happy. It is not possible. That talk to anybody who lived in a communist country and ask them what their state of happiness was. They will explain it to you. It's misery.
Zero. Okay?
We can't. You know, I never thought in my life that I would think somebody like Joe McCarthy might have been right. Okay. But you know what? At this point, I'm believing it because we have so many people that need to be taken care of now by the Department of Justice. You know, Todd Blanche, you know, bless his heart. I hope he does well because I want the United States to do well. I want his job. So I'm not, you know, I want to be the next attorney general. Whether I am or I'm not isn't what's important. What's important is that the things that need to be done get done.
Well, let's come back and talk about Todd Blanche because you're absolutely right. I've been interrupting a lot because I wanted to get you on the topics. Everything you're saying is totally true. I just don't think the average American understand how existential the threat is. And that was my point about Iran, is that the Pentagon says it wasn't going to go the way Trump wanted. I was all for regime change, but if it's not going to work, then we need to focus on what's happening here. And I think I've been proven right. I'm not mad at folks that want to go after Iran. I get it overall. But then I don't like the political response of attacking Trump supporters that were against it. But just moving on from that, we got to remember about the Democrats, what they're going to pull. Like, Keir Starmer has a 10% approval rating. He won't leave. He's wrecking the country, flooding it with Muslims on purpose. They literally want to bring down the West to conquer it. We'll come right back with Peter Tichtin, talk about solutions straight ahead. Stay with us.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, You know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, I want listeners to listen to me very, very carefully. Now, I was interviewing Tickton a lot because everything he's saying is so important and it gets me hyped up. I'm like a, you know, hunting dog that, you know, sees a bunch of birds flying or something. I want to point at him. I've studied history. I'm really into it. I don't just do it because it's my job. I've always loved it since I was a little kid. My mom just got a history degree and read me all this history when I was a little kid. And we watch PBS and go to museums and stuff. And I just got into it. And those who don't know history, I didn't repeat it. Where we are as the Western culture and all of our freedoms, what we've had, we've not been perfect, but compared to the rest of the world, is so close to destruction. I mean, we are on the edge here. And Trump has been so good in so many ways. That's why I got really mad at him when he went off the rails in ways. not even about what he did with the war, but his response to his constituents that had a problem. They said, oh, I hear your issue. That's okay, but I'm doing this. You know, instead, he reflexively, you know, went after us, hardcore Democrats. But I forgive him for that. At the end of the day, things are so serious. I just want to get the public awake to how dangerous the situation is and about the powerful forces that want to swoop in here and the controls they want to finally break our back. We were at the end of the road. And, you know, the country already has a debt with a debt service that is as big as the GDP every year. Trump's recovery plan, I talked to all these economists, perfect, beautiful, needed to succeed. You know, now Strait of Hormuz puts that into jeopardy. But moving on from that, the elections are even bigger than the economy at the end of the day, because if you don't have those, you have nothing. And we don't need to resell the fact that it's total fraud. The Democrats have been caught seven ways to Sunday. They know that. So, Peter Dickson, I'm going to shut up now, give you the floor for the rest of the hour to go wherever you want. I'm just going to sit here. But just to go back to a point here, I know that they said that Todd Blanche was the interim AG, and I'd heard a lot of names floating around out there. And I heard your name, too, but I forgot to bring that up. You were saying you'd like to be the attorney general. Have you heard that's being bandied about or being discussed?
I heard that it is. I heard that what they don't, that the one thing against me is that because I'm 80 years old, I'm they don't think I have the energy, but I work long, hard hours now, 7 days a week as a trial lawyer. I'm on my feet throughout the trials and on top of my game. I've got the mental and physical agility and stamina to be able to put in the long hours and the long days. Look, I can tell that Todd Blanche isn't doing the job that needs to be done. And the way I can tell is because he's not living on a military base. If he's really doing what needs to be done, his life is going to be in jeopardy. And I don't think he's going that far.
I agree. He's not on a military base like Stephen Miller. I totally agree. Exactly. He's not under attack by the establishment because, but back to you, incredible energy, huge law record. Who, I mean, people either know, you know, 80's the new 30 if the guy's got the stamina.
Hey, I'm winning my cases. You know, I'm really doing well. You know,
sure, you've hit your stride, but Trump is 80. So I think that argument against you being 80 is not going to work. Plus, you're a confidant of his. This is great because what Trump needs is somebody that's fearless and ready to take action. So if you were the attorney general, what would you do? And then let's get back into the main
thing. Well, the first thing I'd do is. Okay, the very first thing I would do, that this isn't the big weaponization stuff or whatever, but it sets the groundwork. Let me tell you, the way I'm seeing it, doing the weaponization thing, I'm doing pardons. So I'm hearing from people all around the United States as to what's really going on in the DOJ. And let me just put it this way, okay? I looked it up, you know, like in 1998, 32% of all our crimes were drugs. A big part of that, the biggest part of it, the most of it was marijuana. And it didn't matter who was growing it, transporting it, trafficking in it, possessing it, whatever. It was drugs, and it was mainly marijuana. They decriminalized marijuana. Now, I'm not against the decriminalization of it. Don't get me wrong. That's not my point. My point is that when they did that, we end up now at about 25% less crime than we had. And yet we have the same number of police officers. We have the same number of prosecutors. We never reduced the sizes of our forces, but we still, but we don't have the same number of crimes because 25% of it's gone. So what do we have? We've got bank robberies. Okay, there's no more bank robberies and there's not enough bank robberies to go around. So what do we really have? What in terms of the federal crimes that we've got? We've got too many police. And yes, there are some really bad characters. There are bad people that are being arrested and prosecuted. Yes, hallelujah, that's being done. But there's a lot of people that are innocent being picked up and people that are guilty of minor transgressions that are charged with major crimes so that some prosecutor or some police, whether the FBI or other agencies, can basically show a rationalization for their existence. You know, if you were to, right now at the stop sign at the end of your street, you probably come to a rolling stop every day and then go on. You have 25% more traffic cops in your neighborhood. Guess what? You're going to get tickets for that. And so, you know, the amount of enforcement is being overdone. So the first thing I would do is, and I've got ways of doing it and doing it really fast, we were able to figure out how to get these cases identified and get them dismissed, get them out of the way. That would give me the manpower that I need to go after the real crimes. You know, like, for instance, we charge Comey for these seashells that are on the shore, you know, that spell out, what is it?
8647.
8647. So you drive 8 miles out of town and you bury them 6 feet deep. That's what that means. Okay. And 47 is Donald Trump. As though he couldn't figure that out. You know, give me a break.
It's an open dog whistle to kill Trump.
And yes, that's what it was. And we know it because he published it. Because why would you publish somebody's street address? Oh, this looks interesting. It's somebody's street address. Why would you put that out there? So we know he's full of it, and we know he's
guilty. It's an insult to our intelligence. He didn't know what it meant.
I get that. But why aren't we charging him for the insurrection that he's guilty of? Why
no, I'm no lawyer like you, but I said when it happened, I said this is going to fail because there's no proof of what his intent was when we have all this other stuff he did.
That's what I'm getting at. So he gives him this weak charge. I think that if this was probably there, and it might have been Bondi's decision not to charge the guy, but that could have been a right decision. I don't know. But now that he's done it, I hope he wins it. Like, please.
Well, I would say if you're the attorney general, the number one thing is the deep state coup against the country is to remove and prosecute the criminals in the deep state because nothing else matters and to stop election fraud and to kick the Chinese out of our voting machine. So give us your top 10 things or five things as attorney, because I'll get behind this 100%. My God, Trump knows you. He knows you're loyal. He knows you're a great guy. You got great energy. Boom. You got my vote for attorney general.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've laid it out, a whole plan. And in that.
Tell us where we find that. I'm going to play it tomorrow on the air. Tell us.
You know what? I'm not sure where it is.
You just flood my producers with it, and we're going to attack you for this, which is good. They attack Trump for coming on the show. It's a good thing. We're all for this, Peter. So continue.
Okay. Tina Peters needs to come out of prison. Okay. This woman's getting weaker all the time. This is terrible. I can't stand the fact that she's still in there. We have a president whose resolve is to get her out, and we've got now an attorney general whose resolve is to let it stay the way it is. He's not messing with it. Well, please, look, this is the way I believe the situation is, and I have good reason to understand it.
Blanche isn't stupid. He knows if we had real indictments, we'd win the midterms. That's what people want.
And he wants to see that. And he's giving Todd Blanche an opportunity to get those done. And there are some that are going to come down in terms of the election fraud and so on. Not that they're from. These things have been in the works for a while, and they're coming. And it's not because of Blanche. It's in spite of Blanche. But we're getting them, okay?
Sure, so he'll just halfway get out of the way and then play the hero.
Right. Another thing I would never do, I would never take somebody like Jeanine Pirro. She's a wonderful person. I trust her. Somebody like Cash Patel, you're not going to take them and use them as stooges to stand behind me while I show the American people how mean I could be with an ugly beef face. The way he's presenting things is absurd. His presentations they're underwhelming, and they're really foolish. Let's see him do some things that, in fact, the people can get behind him on. Free Tina Peters. Now, how do you free Tina Peters? First of all, you're talking about the people in the deep state, but they're also in the states. They're not just in the federal government. Jenna Griswold is a perfect example. She's admitted that she's gone to 62 counties and erased or had her people intentionally install what she called the trusted bill that she knew would not only erase but rewrite on top of the hard drives of the Dominion machines to completely destroy all of the data that was in the 2020 election. And she's
for folks that don't know, you have the head Democrat in Colorado erasing things, releasing all the codes, and then and then putting Peters in jail for what she did.
Well, no, Peters is in jail because she's a scapegoat for it, but not because of what she did. People think that, but really it was for not identifying.
No. I meant what the lady prosecuting her did, or the lady over elections.
Yeah. She was the Secretary of State. She had her rules that nobody could be in there, but it had nothing to do with elections. It had to do with COVID. And it was another false law that wasn't really a law. But the fact of the matter is, she violated federal law when she went from county to county, 62 counties, and wiped out all the data. You have to keep it for 22 months or you're guilty of a federal crime that could put you in prison for up to a year for each one of these counties.
So what is that, obstruction, destruction of records? What is it?
It's a destruction of data from the election, and there's a special statute for it that basically you have to keep it there for 22 months. She deleted it. She destroyed it. Not only wiped the disk clean, but you can still get it after you wipe it, but she installed new data on top of it so it could never be seen
again.
So
she ran around like a chicken with her head cut off. We know this is all on record. Erasing it, then overriding it, which is key. So I go back to this then.
And what? Tina Peters is a material witness to that prosecution. Jenna Griswold needs to be charged, and Tina Peters needs to be made a material federal witness, put in the witness protection program, and taken out of that prison. That's what needs to be done.
I totally agree. So the time we have left, they're talking about Trump declaring an emergency. What would the emergency be with the election? How would it mitigate it? Because they're hyping that up. I know you've advised him on this. I've talked to other lawyers that saw what you were saying. That's totally constitutional. What would the emergency be?
The emergency is that they've basically taken over control of our election machines, and they would be, unless we do hand counting, those machines that are basically coming from originally Venezuela, Serbia, and China. I mean, some of the parts in these machines are from China that are actually say that they're from Taiwan, showing their complicity, that they knew what they were doing and that they were manufacturing parts for something that was nefarious. China's guilty here. And so is Serbia, so is Iran, so is Venezuela, and so is Cuba. These are the countries that are interfering with our election results. And we could either sit by and say, oh, well, golly gee, or we could basically declare the emergency that it is, that we've been invaded, our machines have been invaded, and we need to be able to have hand counting just to make sure it's safe.
By the way, I agree. If you're a new listener and you think, oh, the guy's saying this, this is all even come out mainstream news, this is all true. I was 20-something years ago hearing about this. This is all confirmed. And so it's very, very simple. This has to happen. So, and that's why you're talking about the National Guard, all the rest of it. People don't know. France in one day can do an election with hand counted. They declare it precinct level. It's all public. You add it up. Paper is easier than computer. People don't know that, but isn't it easier?
It is easier. And not only that, but let them use the computers. Just scan everything with your own cameras from the military, top and bottom of each ballot, online, stream it so anybody can count it. And that way, it doesn't matter what their machines say, because if there's a dichotomy.
You can have all the press in and have 20 AI scan it. Just have it all out there.
Exactly. Have it all out there. Open up the election. So it wouldn't be that the National Guard is there to arrest people or the National Guard is out there to do anything wrong. They just need more help in terms of making sure the counting is done correctly.
Because for people that don't know, explain this, you're the expert, but it's a black box, these companies. They say it's proprietary, so it's secret. They do whatever they want. They lie and say nobody accessed the computer. Every time you sue them, you find out they've been accessing it. We have their ass. You're just saying open it up.
Yes, yes, yes. We're not allowed to look and see what their codes are and understand their codes because they're trade secrets. The courts protect them.
So again, we're all this martial law by Trump you're advising. No, it's the opposite. It's transparency. It's freedom.
Exactly. Exactly. And that way, if the Democrats win, so be it. Then we know they won fair and square. And if they don't win, they don't win. But the worst thing that can happen is they win in such a way that we all know that they cheated and they're in a position where the worst case scenario, my nightmare scenario, comes true, where they're able to remove the president of the United States and install a lefty like Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, who's already made it clear that the Supreme Court's an illegitimate organization. So he's not going to listen to whatever they say. He doesn't need to expand it. He just won't obey it. They don't have their own army. They can't enforce their rulings.
I totally 100% agree with you. And they spin it like it's martial law. It's the opposite. It's challenging the deep state black box martial law of this fraud. But just people are going to ask.
Have enough hands. They don't have enough people to do a hand count. So we'll provide the people. That's all he's doing. Okay, he's not trying to take away even their control of how they handle what they handle. It's just that it needs to be hand counted.
Elaborate on this, because I know it's in the news, but you don't get into inside baseball, but you're saying right now you're being considered for attorney general. I love that idea. I mean, there's no doubt compared to Todd Blanche, you're like the savior compared to him with your long track record of patriotism and fighting for freedom and exposing fraud and being tough and going through this. Tell us as much as you can about you for attorney general.
Okay. Fundamentally, do I want to be the attorney general of the United States? Not a chance. Who would ever want to be that? I mean, you know, it's not like I have ambitions of a future position that I'll get into in a big firm because I was the attorney general of the United States. No, it's not something I ever wanted to do. It's just that I don't know anybody else who's going to be able to do what needs to be done. You know, right now, if you talk to any U.S. attorney, they all are protecting the reputations of the DOJ. It's time that we stopped protecting it. As the leader of the DOJ, I will stop protecting its reputation from the past and admit how we screwed things up and admit what we've done wrong and admit the weaponization that we did. They haven't even, Todd Blanche isn't even admitting that we did anything wrong in going after Donald Trump. You know, so... You know, let's get real, okay? Let's be honest and fix the DOJ and make it something that is good for the American people, that the American people will appreciate and love, as opposed to an instrument that they all hate and fear. You know, let's stop going after innocent people and let's start going after the people that are insurrectionists in the United States. And let's not just charge them with little things that they did, like seeing seashells on a shore, but let's charge them for the insurrection that's really going on. Let's address the fact that we're being invaded by other countries, that there are organizations in this world, albeit the World Economic Forum, or the World Health Organization and things that they've done. I mean, who's looking at the issue as we may have another pandemic coming down? Who's looking at the issue of who pushed the different things? Who pushed the masks? And was that done for profit motives? Was it done by China? Who did these things? Who's pushed for remdesivir to be given to people in the hospitals? Who kept people in the nursing homes, causing massive deaths? You know, if people are guilty of these mistakes, if Governor Cuomo at the time, you know, who, you know, I don't want to be going after Governor Cuomo, but you know, the fact of the matter is if he's a criminal because he committed a crime that resulted in so many deaths that it's negligent homicide, okay, which is a crime, then he should have been prosecuted by it. And if it's not too late, let's get to it. If there's these cases, so many of them have conspiracies that have gone on, like with Janet Griswold, we're talking about a 2020 election and what she did after the 2020 election. But the conspiracy, the fact that she's still after Tina Peters for these whole purposes and so on, her involvement with the insurrection. I mean, Colorado is a captured state at this point. It goes right through the judiciary. Now, I'd like to make it really clear when I talk about judges, there are really, really good judges, like in Palm Beach County and Broward County, where I practice, we have wonderful judges. They're not involved in politics. They call balls and strikes. But I'm talking about the judges that are involved in top politics. We need to look at these judges. Are they insurrectionists? Are these people actually helping in the takeover of our country? Or are they innocent victims? Or is it that they believe that's the way the law works? You know, are they innocent or are they guilty? And if they're guilty, they should be prosecuted. I don't care if they wear black robes. That's what I'm advocating
for. Well, I agree. And I would say to the bureaucrats, you know, to the lobbyists, all of them are, like you said at the start of the interview, your wide spectrum knowledge, a lot of street smarts, but also the political legal. I just try to study everything. And I could pull back to the establishment and say, you ought to be glad for us reformers trying to fix things. You ought to be trying to reform. We're in a fourth turning. It's a known sociological, historical cycle. You're on the wrong side. Trump, we all love when he's the rebel and the reformer, not when he looks like the establishment, the way they phrased it. And we're literally trying to fix things. They should just get out of the way. There's no way. Whatever happens to you or me or, you know, the time frame, down the road, regardless, this old system is going down. And I think the establishment should be thankful for those of us that are trying to reform.
Right. By the way, there are a whole bunch of Venezuelan witnesses that we've kept here. Patrick Byrne kept them here at his own on his own nickel. He's gone through his whole fortune trying to help the United States, and nobody's helping him.
Well, I know the feeling. By the way, I know behind the scenes, I didn't realize when I first met Patrick, like, you know, 9 years ago, what a hero he is. That guy is the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, and also one of my clients, you know, so I'm on his cases. But, you know, the fact of the matter is these Venezuelan witnesses have gone back to Venezuela, and we need to get them back here. And that's going to take somebody that, you know, again, the attorney general has to do stuff. It's not just a matter of finishing out what they started long ago and now getting through finally to the charges of things, which could have been done much, much more.
But you heard quickly. There are about, like, give cash credit. He said a month ago, a bunch of charges. We're starting to see some. That's what I'm hearing. It's all about to happen, or at least a lot more.
I know. And that's where I say, you know, look, I'm not a fan of Todd Blanche. I don't know him personally.
No, but he knows Trump's going to fire him if he doesn't do it.
I get that. And I'm wishing him luck, because luck for him is luck for the United States. Okay. I cannot take a position that I want him to fail, because if he fails, we fail. But at the same time, I still want his job. Okay. Because I'm definitely the better man for it. I mean, I'll get things done that need to get done. He's not getting anything else.
Well, you seem confident. I mean, so you've been talking to Trump?
I send things to Donald Trump. But he doesn't.
I know we're not supposed to get into it. Well, I would love that, because you've got a long track record of like chewing up nails and spitting them out. So, Peter Tichton, thank you so much. We got a minute left. Closing comment.
Okay, so in terms of Donald Trump, what can I tell you? He's still the same guy. He's the only guy. Well, we're starting to talk about at the beginning of this thing. If 10% of me was unhappy about the fact that we're in Iran, and believe me, I'm happy we're there. But if that 10% of me was against that, and that, where is that 10% going? We don't have another choice here. We only have the enemy. So 10% of me is in favor of China. No, if you have any brains at all, please stick with the fact that we have this one guy that is the only one that's going to be able to change things and make things work for us, and that's Donald Trump. So, you know.
No, I get that. I just hate seeing him, because advisors spin when people, attack his biggest supporters. Not because it hurts me. It hurts him with the supporters when he does that. Like, people don't like that.
No, I get that. Look, we know there are people around him like Boris, you know, and others that.
Yeah, Boris, we know not to trust. Epstein is a big problem.
A big problem. I know. I know personally that he's dishonest. Okay.
Well, you hit the nail there. That's what I'm told behind the scenes. It's him.
Well, I certainly hope he doesn't have that much control or influence, because he's not—he's just not the person that could be trusted. He can be trusted if he's getting paid enough. In that.
Exactly. Total mercenary. All right. Peter Tichton, LegalBrains.com. Thanks for the time. We appreciate you.
Thank you. You too.
Hour number four, jam-packed with news straight ahead. Stay with us. Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the info war.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.